So I'm rowing my way out to Spindrift, and I have no idea what's going on, but it's very clear to me that the dinghy has several holes in it because it is getting lower and lower in the water. And at this point, I'm about halfway between the boat, halfway to shore, and I'm wondering, do I keep rowing or do I turn around and head back to the beach?
Hey there, and welcome to Your Pocket Sailing Instructor, the number one educational podcast all about sailing. I'm Penny Caldwell, and I have been a sailing coach for over 25 years now. I'm here to help you reach your sailing goals. Whether you're looking for gear reviews, safety tips, or just some fun sailing stories, this podcast will have it all. Your Pocket Sailing Instructor is an educational and fun podcast all about things sailing. I plan on releasing weekly episodes every Monday to help you start off your week on a high note. So grab your coffee and join me for your weekly dose of all things sailing.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Your Pocket Sailing Instructor. I'm Penny. I'm glad to have you with me this week. I am sorry for the delay, and I am sorry if I sound a little bit funny. I have been down and out for about 6 days with a really bad flu. So that hit me out of nowhere, and it's probably the sickest I have ever been. And I'm still recovering, so hopefully I don't sound too funny for you today. But yeah, thanks for joining me. For those of you who have been with the podcast for a while, thanks for tuning in again. And for those of you who are new to the podcast, welcome. Thanks for joining us. Please feel free to like, follow, and share the podcast so that more sailors can also join us as we learn a bit more about all things sailing. So this week, I'm going to start digging into a bit of a project that I have for Spindrift. Specifically, it is time for me to find a new tender. So what the heck is a tender? You've probably heard potentially this word before. Some people will call it a dinghy tender or a tender or my dinghy. So basically, a tender is a small boat that is traditionally towed behind your sailing or powerboat vessel. So it's a smaller boat that you use to get back and forth to shore. Sometimes you're bringing supplies back and forth. A tender is definitely different from a life raft or some sort of emergency raft. A life raft, traditionally, a proper life raft will be packaged into like a capsule, and it is packaged away, and basically it's mounted usually up on the deck. And in case of emergency, there's a sequence of things that you have to do to initiate opening up the capsule so that the life raft will inflate, and then you would abandon ship and end up on the life raft. So a life raft is a little bit, well, not a little bit, quite a bit more substantial than a tender. So in this case, I'm talking about my tender for Spindrift. So where to start? We will rewind a little bit, and we'll start around COVID, actually. So during COVID, I was able to use Spindrift a little bit more as a family boat, which was really nice. But this meant that we did a lot more exploring along Kootenay Lake and the west arm of Kootenay Lake. And we actually used our dinghy a lot more that season. And we were basically, I had the girls out in the dinghy bombing around and having fun with the motor. There's a little 4-horsepower motor on it. They would go to shore, do some exploring, and we would go over, make a bonfire, whatever. So the dinghy was getting used a lot more. So this dinghy that I had that came with Spindrift, for those of you who don't know the story behind Spindrift, Spindrift is my boat, a 27-foot Aloha. And it was gifted to me by my grandfather. So my grandfather, Adrian, had the boat in Montreal. And ironically, the boat was actually built and commissioned by his best man from his wedding. So I know pretty much the entire history of the boat, which is pretty cool. She was made in 1980. And so basically when I received Spindrift, I received this dinghy along with Spindrift. And the dinghy that my grandfather purchased worked great for his needs out on the St. Lawrence and for what he needed a dinghy to do. And basically the dinghy that he had for Spindrift was a little Zodiac, and it's called the Cadet. That was the model. It's the Cadet Zodiac, which if you look it up, it's a smaller type of Zodiac, which specifically is convenient because it can be rolled up. So when you are taking trips, so for instance, he used to sail the boat up and down the St. Lawrence River. He brought it out to Rimouski, to our cottage, up Quebec City, all that kind of stuff. And when he'd be traveling around, he would basically have the dinghy rolled up and stowed away in one of the aft lockers. So it was not dragging behind the boat. He was not towing it as a tender. It was more there in case it was needed. I guess a little bit more of an emergency type boat if needed, but it's definitely not a life raft like I talked about just a second ago there. So the Zodiac, the Cadet model, is completely inflatable. It has an inflatable floor, and then it has like plywood pieces that you put into the floor to make the floor nice and solid. So when we first had the boat, had Spindrift out here, and we had the Zodiac, it was great. We were kind of bombing around all over the place. It's fairly small. I'd have to look up for sure, but I believe the Cadet can only support about 4 people. So it's a little bit smaller. I would say it's about 6 feet long, but it is very easy to manipulate for one person. So around the St. Lawrence and the places where my grandfather was using the Zodiac, it was more kind of beachy. There weren't as many rocks, whereas out here around Kootenay Lake, we definitely have some more rocky shores, and just kind of the wear and tear on the boat is a little bit different here. And the way that I was using the boat is a bit different. My grandfather would use it to go from a mooring ball to a dock, whereas here I would be using it to go from a mooring ball to a beach. So the Cadet, it's smaller, compact, can be stowed away really easily, can also be handled and put together by one person. So depending on where you're boating and what you're looking for, I would say the Zodiac Cadet is actually a pretty good model for somebody who's looking for something a little more compact, something that you are not necessarily going to be towing behind your boat, but maybe that you might go away for a weekend and then you might need something to get back and forth to a dock or a pier. So you would pull out this Zodiac, pump it up, and then use that to go back and forth. Now, the boat was working great. Like I said, it was kind of small, only fit about 3 people. Ideally for me, when I do a course, I have 4 adults with me on the course. So ideally I would like to have some sort of tender that is a little bit bigger, so that if we need to go to shore or something, I could ideally bring everyone over in one shot, but not the end of the world. I mean, it was gifted to me, right? We're not going to forget that part. So I'm not going to complain about that for sure. During the COVID time, we used the boat a little bit more as a family. And basically what that meant was that we did a lot more exploring. We would anchor the boat and then we would go ashore with the dinghy. So this one time we were over visiting a friend, and we had the boat at the mooring, and we actually brought the dinghy over to the beach, brought it up onto the beach. We ended up doing a bonfire, all that kind of stuff. And then we ended up leaving the boat there for a few days, and the dinghy stayed on the beach for a few days because we got a ride back to town. So the boat stayed on the mooring ball there. And then a few days later, I went out to check on Spindrift. And as I'm rowing out to the boat, it's becoming very clear to me that I am losing a lot of air. And the boat is just getting lower and lower in the water. And at this point, I'm like, I have 2 choices. I can get to Spindrift and pump it up and maybe pull it out of the water, get it up on the boat, or I can head back to the beach and then try to figure out what to do there. But all of my supplies, as far as patching the dinghy, my dinghy patch kit is on the boat. I have, you know, duct tape or what's that other tape? I think Gorilla tape and stuff on the boat. Like all of my supplies are really on the boat. So I figure, you know what? Let's go to the boat.
So get to the boat, get the dinghy pulled up, start to have a look at it. And then I see that there are five distinct puncture marks on one of the hulls at the stern of the boat. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at it and I'm like, what the heck is going on? Like, what would create five little puncture marks? They're all like in a semicircle all the way around the end of the stern of one of the pontoons, basically. So I end up talking to my friend, calling them up and saying, yeah, it's really weird. I got out to the dinghy. It was a little bit low on the beach. And I thought, okay, I'll pump it up a bit. Cause sometimes, you know, I don't screw up one of the filler valves enough or whatever. Like sometimes dinghies, just depending on temperature too, they'll be a little bit flatter or fuller or whatever. So I wasn't too concerned at first, but as I was rowing out, I could see literally bubbles coming out. So I knew something was going on. And so I'm talking to my friend and then he mentioned that, actually they have a bear in the area, a black bear that comes down to the beach, and it's known for chewing on different chairs and other things that are left on the beach, like beach balls and whatever. So this bear basically just starts playing with stuff and it starts chewing on things. And unfortunately, this time around, it started chewing on my dinghy. So I had a really, really interesting conversation with the insurance broker about this one. It was really funny trying to explain that basically black bears out here are like raccoons anywhere else, or squirrels. They're just kind of around, they're part of the landscape and we live in their area. So sometimes you just have these moments. And this was one of those moments. So I was lucky my insurance covered the damage and offered to pay to replace the dinghy. Gave me a really great deal on the amount that they're covering for the dinghy. So that's great news. And it also worked out really well because that particular dinghy, the Cadet, like I mentioned, it has a soft bottom. And what I've realized over the years with boating out here is I'm definitely more interested in a rib. And what is a rib? So a rib is a rigid hulled inflatable dinghy, or boat, I should say. And so basically what it is usually the hull itself, could be aluminum, it could be fiberglass, it could be plastic. Most of the ones that I've been checking out are aluminum. So the hull is nice and rigid, and then the pontoons are still inflatable. So that way you have really great flotation. You kind of get best of both worlds, where you have a bottom that can go get pulled up on the beach or on rocks or whatever, and it's not going to puncture, it's not going to sink, and you have the inflatable sides. Now, I realize, just telling you my bear story, that this doesn't really prevent bear damage in my world, but I think what really that means for me is just kind of mitigating and being a little more, I don't know, selective with where I'm going to leave my dinghy. I don't know. I'm not quite sure how I'm going to avoid that one. But at least what I can do with the new tender that I'm looking at is get something that will be a little more rugged as far as dealing with the beach. Because the other thing that I did with my Cadet is I actually mounted some dinghy, basically trailer wheels on the stern, so that when we would get to shore, I would put the wheels down and then we could pick up the bow of the boat and kind of pull it along the beach. That had its own challenges as well. Added extra weight. It was a bit tricky trying to get the pins into the wheels when I was putting them in the down position, or even the up position for that matter. And then also the wheels tended to dig into the sand. So they were convenient. They're better than actually dragging the boat. So if you're by yourself and you're looking for a solution as far as how to get your little dinghy up, could be like a boat launch or sand, a beach, whatever, installing wheels on the stern like that could work, for you, but so I'm not sure if I'm going to reinstall something like that on the new dinghy, but that was something that I did for that. I don't know why I went down that path, but anyways, so now one of the things I'm looking at is I'm doing my research on what is available to me.
One of the top contenders right now for me is Highfield dinghies. And this is coming down to what is available in my area, what is affordable, what has the different things that I'm looking for. So in this case, like I said, I'm looking for a rigid inflatable boat. I am looking for something that will seat 4 to 5 people, ideally. So I'm looking for the mid-range size. I forget what the size is. I want to say 940, or I'm probably making that up. But so I'm looking for a larger dinghy. I'm open to try something new because I've had Zodiac previously, which worked fine. I found getting the spare parts for the Zodiac was a little bit tricky. Whereas I've seen on a lot of the marine websites, Highfield, you can purchase the spare parts and kits to fix them all over the place. I'm also looking into dinghy chaps. So dinghy chaps are basically canvas chaps that you put over top of the pontoons to help with UV and just general wear and tear on the dinghy. And because it's these dinghies, the Highfield dinghies are so common, you can buy plans, or you can, in my case, I'll probably find a seamstress because I just have too many things going on. But find somebody who can make you some dinghy chaps, and then that's great for storage. So there's definitely a lot of different things going for the Highfield boat at this point in my world. It's available locally. It was really funny. I decided to do an online order for one. I was really surprised. It let me get like to the very end. I was paying and everything. And then it's like order accepted. And I'm like, wow, like I ordered this boat from like Toronto. And then I got this email the next day from the owner of the store saying, sorry, we can't ship this boat. I thought, oh, wow, because it said you qualify for free shipping. So I was thinking, oh, this will be really funny. How are they going to ship this, 10-foot dinghy across the country? But no luck. So anyways, I've been doing a bit of research. So that's where I'm at right now as far as replacing my tender or my dinghy. I do like to tow it behind the boat. So that's something that I need to think about. I don't tow it when I'm teaching courses. I do tow it when I go out with family or friends. So we can go to the beach, or, the kids can bugger off and go explore. So when I'm teaching and I'm not using the dinghy, I will have to make sure that I have somewhere to store it at the marina. So that's something to look into. But so that's where I'm at as far as doing a bit of research. I am going to update you guys a little bit more next week with some pricing and some of the accessories and things that I'm looking for with this particular dinghy. And I'm going to talk about as well some of the things that you might want to look into if you are thinking of getting a tender for your boat, and we will go from there. So I'm going to wrap up this episode here today. I wanted to keep it a little bit shorter, but I did want to check in, let you know I'm here, let you know I'm still working on things. And right now I've got this dinghy project on the go. So let me know if you have a dinghy that you use, that you tow behind your boat, and if you like it, what size it is, what works, what doesn't work. I'm always super interested to know, get feedback from people as far as what's working for them and what's not, and then I can share that with others too. So I will chat with you guys next week, and hopefully I am not as stuffed up. Take care. Bye.